You're listening to Benji B, Radio 1 and 1 Extra.
This show contains bad language. If you don't like it, head to bbc.co.uk/Radio 1 and check out another show.
I saw you riding around just the other day. The sun was out, I felt the rain on me. I know you couldn't stop, she's just a seat away. I feel like crying out, I don't know what to say. And now you're in the room with your eyes on me. I see you try to talk, but all you gotta say. You know sometimes I wish I could go out of line. I hope I wake you up, I hope you change your mind. Said I was done, but I think I might talk in your ear when you feel it, don't fight. She's in the room, it'll be alright. Got me feeling naughty. Body's telling me yes. It'll be hard if I try to resist. Don't be afraid to get closer to me. Got everything that you wanted to see. You said you would give me your best. Is this a love thing or is this a test? Don't be afraid to get closer to me. You want it, you want it.
So what's it gonna be? Don't wanna pressure you. Sing a melody, that's what you made me do. You're irresistible when you're in my face. Does she satisfy you? Take a place. Steady touching my hand, I look at you. You made me wanna on you. But we still gotta chill, cause your girl's around.
Said I was done, but I think I might talk in your ear when you feel it, don't fight. She's in the room, it'll be alright. Got me feeling naughty. Body's telling me yes. It'll be hard if I try to resist. Don't be afraid to get closer to me. Got everything that you wanted to see. You said you would give me your best. Is this a love thing or is this a test? Don't be afraid to get closer to me. You want it, you want it.
Now we talking on the low. His chick's up in the room, but he don't notice that I know. He been watching me how polite when he stuck. So busy into my presence that he forgot she was stuck. He wanna touch on my figure and keep me bent out of shape. Cause if he rub on my body, I might get wet as a lake. I'm talking who you came with, she ain't gotta know. And if you really bout that action, we can film on the floor. I'm drunk, dripping off a hook and who's involved. I should've never tried to get him at his draws. But once again, he was pulling on my card. So I shuffled through the club, told him meet me at the car. Come on.
Your body is telling me yes.
Your body
is telling me I can
resist.
I'm really in love. Thing that you wanted to see.
Said you would give me your best.
Tell me is this just a test?
Listening to Benji B on BBC Radio 1 and BBC Radio 1 Extra. Radio.
How you doing tonight? Hope we find you well. It's Benji B back at the controls at BBC Radio 1 once again. Wednesday night, 2 till 4, as we say thank you to Hugh Stevens and Chrissy Chris for the last 2 hours on Radio 1 and 1 Extra, respectively. Don't forget both shows available for you to catch up on the iPlayer over the next 7 days at your leisure. Special show tonight. Special edition. Special guest. We're joined by the one and only Fortet. In the studio for the duration tonight. Long awaited catch up. And a guest mix in hour two as well. Don't forget you can drop us a line, benjib@bbc.co.uk. Tonight we've got everything for you. Label Focus, Tex Records, guest mix from Fortet, some chat, some interview, and some exclusives as well. That's all between now and 4 a.m. on BBC Radio 1. Welcome along.
You make me happy. You bring me all kinds of joy. You make me happy, baby. Something about the things you do.
Something about the things
you do. Something about the things you do.
Joy.
something I picked up this week from Man of the Moment, Seven Davis Jr. Absolutely sick. White Marble Effects vinyl. Go seek that out if you can find it. We've got a Seven Davis Jr. exclusive to drop later on, courtesy of our special guest Forte as well, on the remix for one of his tunes. It's Benji B on bbc.co.uk/radio1. Welcome along. Hope you're feeling good tonight. We kicked off with music from Kalela and Tink. Brand new collaboration between those two, track called Want It. And you heard music from Budgie, forthcoming on Sound Signature Recordings. Track called The Only Power. Excellent EP from him, watch out for that. Track you just heard by Seven Davis Jr., available on Must Have Records. It's a special one tonight. You're in for a treat. Special guest Forte in the building. Going to be talking through Tex Records, having a chat. And then if we're nice enough, maybe we'll hijack the decks in hour two. Into music from Kasim Moss. BBC Radio 1.
Thank you.
Radio 1.
Music from Kasim Moss, from his double LP on Workshop. In the background, music from Omar S and Kai. You listen to Benji B on a Wednesday night. Won't keep you waiting too much longer to introduce our special guest. He's lurking in the shadows, vibing. Got to say much love to everyone that got in touch with us following last week's show in tribute to the late great DJ Rashad. Correspondence. Tonight, Holly Wilmot, Jade Greaves, Michael Sigma, Luke Clark, Peter Martin, Josh Dowler, Timo Sankar, Jordan Codd, Trey Hicks, Sean Sutherland, Brian Smith, Alex Menjivar, Charlie Tate, Elan Bass, thank you. We'll be right back. just getting warmed up tonight. Don't forget the full track listing is always online as soon as the show's done. All of those that like to email constantly throughout the show saying, what's this, what's this, what's this, what's this? And we're just hanging out tonight. We've got a special guest, Kieran Hebden, aka Fortet, aka busiest producer in music at the moment, I think. How you feeling, sir? As he wipes his eyes.
Good, I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Not that busy.
This is the time of night we come awake anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us tonight. You're going to hang out for the duration, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Welcome to the studio. Special edition tonight. If you just joined us, you picked a good one. Special guest Fortet in the studio. Been meaning to do this for a long time. And in the background, we're starting in the present, bang up to date. This 12-inch out last week, right, Kieran?
There's no official release date on the record, but it arrives in the warehouse. It should appear, yeah, kind of a few days ago. It won't appear everywhere at once. They just come out. You know?
Oh, okay. Renegade style.
I think I'll keep my gear.
this 12 inch is under a pseudonym for you, right?
It's out. Percussions.
And it's not a secret that Percussions is you, obviously.
There was a 12 inch one or two years ago, Percussions and Fabric Mix I did. There was a Percussions track, and I decided to do more this year because I just wanted to put some records out that are just club records, you know, and I didn't want them to have any kind of baggage particularly, and I just want people to accept these, they're 12 inches and they're just made for clubs, you know, that's the whole motivation behind this.
So basically it gives you freedom just to make dance floor bangers if you can.
Yeah, I feel it got to the end of last year, I feel was like a real year for like albums in the kind of like sort of dance music world. People were trying to focus on those, and it got to the end of the year and I saw they weren't actually the massive singles there had been the last few years as far as I was concerned. So I was like, what am I going to do this year? And I was like, I'm going to make bangers. That's the whole agenda right now. I was like, that's what the label's about right now. It was just like, I think I wrote on Twitter the other day, it was like 2014 Tex Record bangers.
So is that how you sort of plan your year? Do you kind of think this is what I'm going to do in 2012, 2013, or do you just sort of take it day by day musically?
Maybe month by month or something. I plan a little bit here and there. I definitely get kind of excited about something and it just, a world suddenly opens up. Like I said, right now it's like, let's just make big club tracks, and I get a little idea like that in my head and I just go with it for a few months until I'm bored, and then whatever, or until I bump into something else, you know?
Definitely feels like you've been DJing a lot recently. Has that influenced the way that you're making your club tunes at the moment?
Yeah, it's changed everything. That was that's been the biggest change in my music in the last kind of 5-6 years, and happened around the time I was doing the stuff with Steve Reed. I suddenly got invited to go to Ibiza actually with Timo Mas, and it was like a different world. And then I started doing some residencies at like the End, and then I started doing Plastic People, and I just started DJing loads, and then the music I made, I couldn't help myself really. I started making music to play out.
Yeah.
Now that's become like all of a sudden DJing is one of the main things I do these days. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about Tex Records. We're definitely going to talk about the releases that you've got coming out at the moment. But we both agreed that we should play this record tonight in the background because it holds a special place for everyone, I suppose, but for you and for me as well. So maybe you can tell us the story behind how the Fortet J Dilla remix first came about.
I had my album out and I wanted a remix, and then the label said to me, you got any ideas? And I said, can you try and get JD? I think everyone called him JD more at the time than
J
Dilla.
Still JD, yeah.
And they said they'd try and get in contact, and a couple of weeks later they came to me and were like, oh, you know, he says he wants to do it. And I was like, really? And I sent him a whole bunch of my records, and I sent him the multi-tracks, the song I wanted. Then he came back to me and said, well, what do you want me to do? And I said, if you could make a beat out of all the samples and get some vocals on it as well, that would be the dream. And then he went quiet on me for ages and ages and ages. And I didn't know at the time that he was really sick. You know, I didn't know what was going on. And then after 6-7 months, I get a contact from him saying, I've lost the multi-track parts. Can you send them again to my mum? I was like, this is weird. Never really worked with anybody that's asked me to send something to their mum. So I did it and I sent all the stuff, and then don't hear anything again for 6 months maybe. And then one day a CD, which I've still got, just arrives in the post to me, hand scrawled in his writing on it. Seriously Alive remix featuring Guilty Simpson, who I'd never heard of. I don't think he'd even put anything out, mate. Maybe this is one of his first things.
I think as far as the world outside of Detroit, certainly,
yeah,
this was one of the first times we heard Guilty Simpson.
And I remember putting it on, and I remember just, I was floored, you know. I like, obviously, couldn't believe the level he'd gone to with the whole thing he added. He turned the name of the song into like a chorus.
Yeah,
and like sang it, and on every level, it was like incredible. And you know, to know I had that and put out and everything. And then obviously time went on, and then Donuts came out, and then he passed away all of a sudden. I didn't get to meet him, you know. It was a real tragedy. He was someone I was like, oh, next time in LA or whatever, because he'd moved there, I'd like definitely meet up, and that never happened. And I remember the day I heard he died, I'd put the remix on, and I was like, oh my god, I cannot believe this exists now. This is a really, really, really unique and special thing, you know, to be like, you know, a guy from London with a JD remix. and as time goes on, it just becomes more and more special. Almost like so many people ask me about it, and they can't believe I've got that sitting there in my catalog or whatever. But and it still sounds good, you know. It still sounds so good.
Let's run that right now. JD.
Yeah.
Fortet.
Here it is. Remix. Featuring my man, Guilty Simpson.
Classic.
Yeah, turn it up.
It's a fact you gon' bleed when I leave your ass wetter than a saxophone reed.
So serious.
Gamblers taking our bets. Guilty Simpson, y'all, J. Dillon, Fortet.
That's serious.
Serious as your life. Serious as your life.
Your life is, and find these biz off wherever your wife is. Now let's get
serious.
Like looking at pulling the thing out without a bullet to bang, just pulling your leg. Now get
serious.
You're looking for the man, here he is. Tight like Murphy's leather and delirious. Is
serious.
The whole team retarded, but don't let me have to pull out that pretty ass R-U-G-E.
For the rough,
so I'm not playing, I'm not searching, but it's not the game. I got your verse to this. Turn it up and bang that. See, we on some Jermaine Jack. Let's get serious shit for real. But even more serious is Forte with Guilt and Deal. Come on,
serious.
The remix of how your chick head not until she need a weed fix. The whole team sick and
serious.
Serious as your life is.
Let's go.
Serious as your life.
It's the real.
Serious as your life is.
Real song.
In my opinion, one of the best, or at least one of my favorite Dilla remixes, up there with the DJ Cam remix and the SpaceX Eve remix. This is definitely, you got a classic here, Kieran, for sure.
Yeah.
you're listening to Benji B on BBC Radio 1 with special guest Forte. Up next, we got something exclusive that I believe was just finished today.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, just finished it this afternoon, ready.
Thanks very much. So, what is this? Maybe you can introduce this one for us.
It's a Rome Fortune, one time four. It's called I Did the Music, He Did the Vocals.
Brand new.
I said, kicking in Atlanta with a bad batch. Never caught in fabrics that's average. What would ever happen if I got married? Same shit, different cake. Honestly, I'm grasping for it. Asking for it, if that's your form. My mask is on, I'm taking mine, I'm blasting yours. And you know wrong shit, dog, it's crazy. Ayy, we blow your shit off and maybe it's coming very fast, yes, quickly. Maybe I just live with a clip, never empty. Maybe I just live in the past, broken friendly. I just broke into your mind, don't forgive me. I just think I'm on my grind, heaven sent me. Sir. I said, one time for that chair, baby, two time for that chest. Yeah, you hatin', why you do that? Yeah, you hatin', why you do that? Said like three time for them rolls, hoping that them won't fold. Yeah, that hatin', why you do that? Yeah, that hatin', why you do that? Nah. I said, kick it in New York with the fashion. Women saying, glad that you back, man. What would ever happen if I'm just mad rich? Penthouse, whatever, extraordinarily lavish. Sure, I went bad and more, but I'm asking for it. Bad performing, I'm last, I'm on, and that's the song I'm lasting on. Some photo shit, dog, is crazy. Hey, you know I'm it, dog, you lazy. Hit the rocket, turn the switch. Yes, in the pocket, heard the click. Yes, swerving to my dick. It's absurd now, isn't it? Yeah. Hit the rocket, turn the switch. In the pocket, heard the click. A swerve into my dick. It's absurd now, isn't it? For that check, baby, two time for that check. Hating, hating, why you do that? Yeah, you hating, why you do that? Said like three times for them rolls, hoping that the my forms were bold. Yeah, baby, hating, why you do that? Yeah, now hating, why you do that? Yeah, yeah. One time for that check, yeah, yeah.
Brand new and exclusive. A track called One Time Four. tune in the background, undoubtedly one of the first pieces of music I bought by a group called Fridge. And now Kieran's going to scare me by telling me what year it was.
I think it was recorded in 96, maybe, wow. Or 97.
Yeah, that sounds about right. There was two pieces I remember that were really striking at the time. One was the 36-25,
yeah. Which that was after this. This was before that. Yeah.
And I think this was the first...
This was a Fridge record, and the 36-25 was the first Fortet record.
That's right. So they're the sort of two different artist names, first contact with those two
different
artists.
Well, the Fridge was a band, actually. So it was me and two other people, a guy called Sam and a guy called Ardem, and we were like a more traditional band, live instruments and stuff. Mm. That's where I started out. Really.
Definitely. And this was on Output Records, right?
Yeah.
Which is the label of Trevor Jackson.
Yeah, it was... we were the first band, kind of acty. He put out a few records by himself and then did us, and then Sonovac and LCD Sound System, stuff like that.
I mean, it's so good to see an artist that's obviously, you know, been making music since 1996, and before that possibly, and to still be so busy, so in demand, happier and busier than ever in a way. So how do you keep on top of everything that you do?
I definitely feel lucky in that respect that it keeps going on, and I just follow what excites me all the time. I feel like I'm just as enthusiastic about music as I was then. I still hang out in record shops all week and get excited when records come out, and I just feel like making music all the time. I go out to a club, something, I hear an amazing track, and I come home and I want to make music. And there's always new. I just find, I see myself as following a kind of musical, my life's a kind of musical journey. And when I'm making records or whatever, I'm not really trying to just make the best record I can. It's not about that. The records are just a document of my ideas at the time.
Mm.
I just want the records to be like a diary almost, you know, to just document my musical ideas sort of through my life. That's kind of the way I think about it.
So when you look at back at the albums that you've made, sort of like as Forte or Fridge, and when you start looking at your discography, it's like, I take it for granted, I guess, because I've bought the records along the way with you as you've been making them, but there are a lot of 12 inches and albums that you've released. I mean,
loads. Yeah, you know, there's like 5 or 6 Fridge albums, there's like 7 Forte albums or something, there's about 100 released remixes, there's probably way too much, you know, there's so much music in the world, I don't know, but I just kind of got, I became very relaxed about releasing stuff and this idea of kind of documenting, and I just I definitely don't release everything. Every time I make an album, it's probably, I probably make 30 tracks and release 10 for the album, and I've got archives of hundreds of things as well.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Because I make terrible music too. I've always made a lot of music.
And what's your working process now, and how does that differ to being the young Kieran in 1990, whatever?
The record we're listening to right now was made on a cassette tape. It's like an 808 drum machine and microphones and live instruments and things, and made on like a little cassette tape on an 8-track recorder. You know, nowadays I'm making tunes on a laptop and an aeroplane. that's definitely a big difference.
And,
I've been lucky to be there at a time where so much has happened in kind of technology of making electronic music that possibilities have been opening up, and I've been able to be right there and getting involved myself. So maybe I've been around at a good time as well.
Yeah, 100%. So we just heard a collaboration between you and
Rome Fortune. He's a rapper from Atlanta, and he was recommended to me by Jessie Lanza, actually, on Hyperdub. She sent an email to a few group of friends saying, check this out. And I listened to that probably a month or so ago and was like, oh, this is really, really good. And that night I heard it and I decided to follow him on Twitter because I liked it. And he sent me a message straight away being like, oh, really glad you followed me. And next thing I know, we're chatting to each other, and half an hour later, we've agreed that we're going to work on music together.
Wow.
And I said, just so happened I'd been working on some more kind of hip-hop type of stuff that last kind of week. So I just sent him something, and a few days ago he sent me back a vocal done for it, and I mixed it today, and I haven't done a hip-hop track in quite a while, but I like that thing where you just bump into the right person at the right time. And so people always say to me, like, oh, who's your dream collaboration, who do you want to work with? And that concept that's never really made sense to me. I think the best collaborations are the people that you kind of bump into along the way, and it's kind of meant to happen, you know. I wouldn't want to kind of force any of these things. And this might sound kind of weird, but for me, the existence of Twitter, believe it or not, even though it's just this little website, has actually had a massive, massive impact on what's possible for me in terms of collaborating and working with other musicians. To have a device set up that allows us to communicate directly with each other, whatever level you're at, you know, like I can talk to, on Twitter, I chat to everybody from someone like Rome Fortune, but I also chat to, I know, Ellie Goulding or Lord or whatever, and these people come back to me, you know, and the fact that there's just instant direct access, and you can talk to someone, decide to work on a piece of music together and make it happen without dealing with any labels or managers and things. And that's why that Terror Danger record came out earlier this year, just chatting on Twitter as well. Now this Rome Fortune thing, it's like, it's all over the world as well, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, you should expand on that a little bit, because as someone that's clearly been making music for a while now, from a very young age as well, across record labels, independent like Output, and then on Domino, and then now having your own imprint that you run completely independently, you know, how important is that to maintain that sort of direct contact with other creatives and artists?
It's really important for me. You know, I find I can communicate with other musicians about music in a way that I'll never talk to people at labels or, press or anything. There's just a different type of communication, because maybe it's a little more technical or a little more just understanding about the kind of process.
Mm.
And it's nice to be able to just get directly in contact with people like that. And in terms of the label, it's nice to be living in a day and age now where I can kind of just use simple internet sort of things to promote stuff and not have to worry about all the traditional sort of album cycles and press. And I've done it all, you know, like as you said, I've been on a major label and an indie label and a big indie label and all these things, and I feel like I've had all these various experiences.
Yeah.
And at this point I don't feel any need to repeat them. It's not that they were bad, I'm not really interested in repetition.
Mm.
And now the most efficient way for me to do stuff is to just make music and just put it out when it's ready, with no fuss, no bother, no fanfare, and then just send you a message on Twitter and be like, Benji, play it on the radio, and then you play it on the radio, and then people all over the world hear it, and then they buy the record, and it's just all sorted, you know.
Yeah. And talking about collaboration, I mean, more recently you've produced a couple of, you know, really heavyweight albums from Omar Suleiman and Nena Cherry. The most recent collaboration that I was aware of before you played this Rome Fortune track was with Martin for his new record. And he brought in a special version of that, right?
Yeah, I was like, I think last year I'd finished my new album, the last Fortet one that came out, and I had this idea last year I was going to quit doing remixes because I've done so many. I've actually failed to quit recently, but that's another story. And I was like, instead of doing so many remixes, I want to open myself up to actually working with other people in a more direct way. And some production things came along, and I decided to do them in, but more like traditional production, like you might get in the 60s or whatever, where someone, my job was very technical on the Omar Suleiman and the Nena Cherry record. They made all the music. I didn't make any of the music on those records. I was just recording it, mixing it, deciding how it should sound and how the music should be presented, and much more kind of old school sort of approach. But then I've also been doing some collaborations with other producers. So the one with Martin that you mentioned, that was a proper kind of, unfortunately we were in different countries so we couldn't get in the studio together, but just emailing back and forwards the sessions all the time and working on the ideas, and we made the track together. I did one with Jamie XX. That's, I don't know when that's about to, hopefully that's coming out soon. I've done the same way, and I did the two tracks with Terra Danger as well. And yeah, that's something I haven't done so much of in the past, and it's just felt like quite refreshing. And now this one with Rome Fortune, and
yeah. So all of those collabs that you just mentioned are basically done virtually by sending parts back and forth.
Yeah, all of those. Like, I didn't think that was such an appealing idea in the past. Like, I've done quite a few with Burial, and we made a point of always being in the studio together and never doing them by email like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we thought we might get better results that way, and I feel like we did get great results. But the practicalities of making it always happen, especially when people are in other countries, I have got myself into a situation where I'm working with some people by email now, but I'm really happy with the results. I'm not like listening to them and thinking, oh, this would be 10 million times better if we'd been in the studio. I don't know if that's, I mean, sometimes I think it depends on how well you know the person as well. Like the stuff, the Burial stuff, like when we're in the studio together, we definitely vibe off each other. We get so excited by stuff that each other's coming up with, like there and then. I think there are things that happened on those records that couldn't have happened unless we were together. But there's also something like the one I did with Terra Danger. I'd never met in person until after we'd finished the tracks.
Wow.
And that gives it a different feeling as well, because there's this, I'd send him the parts and I'd be like nervous, be like, what's he going to think of this? Is he going to be like, who is this idiot? And then when he'd come back enthusiastic, and being nervous is a good thing, you know, it's like, I need to be scared in what I'm doing a little bit. If I'm not scared, I feel like I'm just somewhere comfortable and maybe not going to be making the best music. So I'm looking for those slightly edgy situations there, you know, here and there as well.
So you basically met Terra Danger after you'd made a tune with him?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
All right, introduce this one for us.
So this is, this is the track I did with Martin. There's two versions of this. There's a version on his album, but there's a longer, slightly more club friendly version almost, that's on the 12 inch. I think it's called the 8 hours at Fabric dub, because we did an all-nighter at Fabric where we tried out, we just finished this track and we both tried it out there, and yeah, this is it.
brand new music from Martin, collaborating with special guest Forte, who joins us in the studio at Radio 1 tonight.
Thank you.
You're listening to BBC Radio 1, also broadcasting on One Extra tonight. Special guest Fortet in the studio just heard music from Fortet and Burial, a track called Nova, available on Tex Recordings, if there's any left.
Like, when the demand builds up too much, to try and press more, but people always say they can't get them. You can get that one still on Discogs, I think. Some of them are hard to get.
So tell us about the Burial collaboration. How did that come about?
We went to school together, so...
Oh, right, okay.
You know, we've known each other since we were teenagers. We used to do, like, art class together and stuff. And when the first record came out on Hyperdub, I bought it, and I was loving it. And then about a month later, I got an email being like, oh, I've started making music. Hi, it's Will. I've started making music too. And... And it turned out that was his record, this friend of mine from school. And so we met up, you know, we hadn't seen each other since school. We met up and talked, oh, let's, we should try and work on something together. And he said how much he was a fan of my records and how they'd inspired him and stuff. And so we made this plan to work on some music, but we were just really slow getting going. We started working on stuff, but it was ages till something came out. Anyway, by the time we decided to release something, I guess Untrue had already come out and stuff had gone to a whole other level and everybody was freaking out. And then suddenly we had, I think Moth was the first single. I don't think I've ever, the day we put that out, no fanfare or anything, just suddenly appeared in shops. This like blank record came out with us working together and people definitely flipped out. And the fact that we did, when then did more afterwards, yeah, people, the reaction to those records is crazy.
Yeah,
really crazy.
And how do you get that reaction? Is it all via Twitter and kind of like mad those, online stuff, or
you
is
don't
it
need to
like,
do anything? It's just the music. Yeah, like I think.
No, I know, but I mean, as an artist, how do you gauge when things have just gone nuts for something?
Oh, nowadays something like Twitter and all the people contacting me and the mad mixture of people from all over the place, and then, you know, seeing how fast the records are selling and the hype from the shops, and these are all. Most of these things we're talking about tonight are vinyl-only releases, a lot of them. It's kind of, you know, I come from that world a lot. I think some people think maybe I'm stuck in the past with that a bit, but that really is my kind of world, and a lot of what I do is to be part of that kind of vinyl culture and history that's meant so much to me, and I can't let myself let go of that somehow. So everything I do still seems to come out in that format, and I still... You know, I walk into a shop and I see the record on the wall and it still gives me a chill that other things don't, so...
Yeah. Well, that Nova tune is certainly one of my favourite releases on text, for sure. I still play that.
It's one of the best things I've ever done. It's one of my proudest moments in music ever, you know.
It's one of those records that's always in the box sort of thing.
And when we did it, I think we knew it meant so much to us. That's why there wasn't anything on the other side. We had some tracks that were all candidates to go on the other side, and we were trying to make it all work, and then after a while we're like, nothing stands next to this for us. This is our perfect moment, you know. We're just gonna have to put it out on its own as it is, and it just became this one-sided 12-inch. We just put it out there and let it do its thing, you know.
Music in the background from your most recent LP, right?
Yes, this is from Beautiful Rewind, which came out last year, kind of around October. Something like that. These were... you want me to say something about the album?
Yeah.
It was an album I made last year, and I made this record out in upstate New York, out in the forest somewhere, and I'd got really... I'd been downloading... I got really interested in, like, New Age music, and I was buying all these old records of old, like, ambient synth music and stuff, and... I wanted to make something with that sort of atmosphere was the starting point for the record. And around the same time, I also was buying a lot of grime records and started listening to a lot of old YouTube clips of old pirate radio recordings. And I remembered this this essay that I read that Steve Reich had written about him being very influenced by especially like gamelan music and African drumming and things, but deciding not to use those instruments in his music because they weren't true to his background, and deciding to stick to Western instruments and orchestration for what he did. And I suddenly thought, you know, I don't really come from this you know, West Coast New Age thing I'm interested in. But I was like, what's these pirate radio recordings? I've grown up in London with that sound around me, always pirate radio and stuff. I was like, that's a sound from my world. I was like, what if I use these pirate radio recordings as a sound and as an instrument in the music? And that was the starting point for the album to make. And it sounds so ridiculous now that I'm listening to myself say it out loud, but to make a new age album, like using pirate radio as an instrument. That was my concept basically for the record, and I made it.
Yeah. Amazing.
I think I decided to quit doing interviews at the time as well, and I think the record came out, and I don't think lots of people kept going, oh, it's like trying to be a kind of like jungle throwback thing and stuff, but that wasn't supposed to be a kind of clubby record particularly at all. There were moments on there that can be played in a club, but definitely was thinking of more of a kind of listening experience as an album rather than just bangers.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's definitely clear that that's the LP, and that there's certain sort of 12-inch kind of dance floor material that you put out on Text, but this definitely felt like
a collection. There's a big distinction for me at the moment. There's like albums and there's 12-inches, and they've got different functions, you know.
Beautiful Rewind, of course, is available now. Came out, as Kieran said, towards the end of last year. This track called Your Body Feels. Listening to BBC Radio 1.
Radio 1.
You're listening to Benji B on BBC Radio 1, time for another exclusive, as brought in by special guest Fortet. Maybe you can introduce this one for us, sir.
So I've just got some remixes in from tracks from Beautiful Rewind. And this one just came in, Seven Davis Jr. I first heard him really recently. His 12-inch he's done on Apron Records, is it?
Yeah.
And got in contact on Twitter straight away. Said, and now he's done a remix. Yeah.
Love Seven Davis Jr. Brand new, Seven Davis Jr. on the remix for Fortet, forthcoming Text number 32. Thank you. 2. All right, we've swapped seats. Swap positions. It's a takeover. We couldn't wait any longer. Kieran's brought a massive stack of goodies and vinyl in. And for the remainder of the show, you will be in his company. Musically, that is.
I could ask you questions and stuff as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's a role reversal. It's quite nice sitting over here, actually. It's cool. Fortet in the mix on BBC Radio 1 for at least the next 40 minutes or so. Skipping Needles, Jumping Records, Cracks and Popples, all free of charge. Special guest Fortet on the turntables.
मेरे सपने हैं जिंदा यहीं, मुझे पिंजरा न दिखाओ मैं परिंदा नहीं, मुझे कहने दे तुझको मेरी कसम। नहीं इसे पी के गुनगुनाऊं तू खफा तो नहीं, ये जाम तो फिर जाम है कोई जहर तो नहीं, इसे पी के गुनगुनाऊं तू खफा तो नहीं, मुझे जीने दे तुझको मेरी कसम।
डिस्को 82 डिस्को 82 डिस्को 82
tunes by a band called Tarsius from the Philippines. These guys came to meet me at a Shao Xing in Hong Kong last year, I guess, and handed me a record while I was there. And pretty strange album. It's got a picture of a Big Mac on the sleeve. and this tune was on it. It's amazing. It's so good. I bet it's the first time they've been played on Radio 1 as well. But yeah, shout out to Tarsius.
For sure.
And the Philippines.
What was the Bollywood sounding thing just before?
There was something I bought last week called Disco 82. It's so catchy. I heard that song. It's just in my head. Music by Rajesh Rohan. And it was Kishore Kumar and Lata Mangeshkar on the vocals. eBay find from last week.
You're listening to Fortet in the mix on Radio 1.
Radio 1.
Joined us tonight. You're in tune to Forte on Radio 1. I like this side of the desk. It's cool.
I like this side of the desk.
You should do it more often. So do you want to run down a couple of the tracks that you've just been playing?
Well, this one right now is called Blatant Water Cannon. It's one of the percussions ones we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
One before
this last week, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
One before was a old Bundy K Brown record. He was one of the founding members of Tortoise. He was only on the first record, I think. But, he put some records out under the name Directions.
Yeah.
There's one called Echoes that is a defining record for me. It was like the blueprint of what I do in some ways. It was
wow.
I think it was just after like. He put out records that use samples for sampling like jazz records and stuff and layering up loads and loads of different sounds together. Kind of took it further than DJ Shadow and people like that, more into kind of like cosmic jazz sort of territory. And that was definitely a game changer for me. So that was one of his records, little nod to him. Before that was Taraval. It's a new artist from America whose debut record's coming out on my label Text as well. That was a tune called Doug's Prayer. It's on his new 12-inch that's just come out, actually. And I can't actually remember what was before that.
You played a Jay Daniels.
Oh, yeah, well. Yeah. There was a Jay Daniels just done a remix for me. So that was a little sneak preview of that. That's going to be coming soon, too.
And this tune, do you want to explain the title?
Blaine Water Cannon. The title was the day that... I was just reading the news that day and there was some legislation going on where they're allowing use of water cannons in England against protesters. Made me angry. Named my song after it.
Just under 10 minutes to go tonight. Forte taking us all the way through to the top of the hour.
Selections from Fortet for the last 45 or so, and ending on two heavyweight exclusives.
Yeah, we had a new champion one just before this. Execution is terrifyingly massive. And this is a new Nathan Fake track. He's starting his own label. I haven't even asked him whether I'm allowed to play this, so I hope you're not mad at me, Nathan. But this is forthcoming on his new label, and it's wicked. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us tonight. Fortet, myself, Benji B. I'm back next week, same time, 2 till 4, and I'm definitely going to invite Kieran back sometime soon because, yeah, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks a lot for the mix, Kieran, and for the exclusives and for the chat.
No, thanks for having me. Pleasure.
Until next time. Early Breakfast is up next on BBC Radio 1. Over on our sister network, another chance to hear last week's show dedicated to DJ Rashad. From Forte and me, take care. I'm gonna go get some more.